Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Gospel of John is kind of known for its I am statements. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the true vine. Or this morning's exploration, I am the bread of life. Some suggest that John has even structured and built his gospel on those famous I am statements. And that's kind of helpful because I am repeats itself and it's easier to remember. Maybe that's why he did it. Or maybe because he wanted to update an earlier thing that people knew throughout history as the Lord is the great I am. And now he's updating it. But most of all, these I am statements, John wants to introduce you to someone. And as he does this, you'll recognize that he has in mind something much bigger than just a casual acquaintance. In fact, the purpose of these I am statements is to bring you and me very deliberately into a living and permanent and most intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, John even says that's why he wrote his gospel, so that you will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing in him, have life in his name. And so this morning, our goal, is to meet this Jesus Christ in this very radical and engaging way. Not an arm's length acquaintance, after which we say it was nice knowing you, but nothing less than a long time, long life relationship, a walk with him on an assignment for the very purpose of your and my life. Now, the particular statement that we're going to explore this morning is our Lord's announcement, I am the bread of life. Now, to the uninitiated, an introduction like that would sound, as I suggested to the children, kind of strange and not very helpful. But the setting in which Jesus uses these very words bring to light something about him which takes us to the very heart of who he is and who he is for us today. And we want to catch something of that. Something of this sense of who this Jesus to whom we are introduced is to us as the bread of life. And we're going to do that first by looking at where he first said it in the context of those he walked with and taught in those early New Testament days. And Jesus, as he always did when he did that, when he interacted with people in his time and taught them and did miracles with them, he started with the assumptions and the thinking and the culture and the frame of mind with which they were familiar and in which they lived. And that, of course, is a very effective way of communicating and introducing himself, even becoming one of us and walking in our sandals and taking on earthly human life, especially in those early days. And you see, folks did identify very much with the bread and butter issues of the day, which was bread. Many had taken up a big part of the day, often every day, looking after this basic commodities and staples of life. In fact, bread was kind of a symbol. It stood for the all-important commodity which sustained and fed and nourished life. It was the staple of every person's daily diet. And it was the staple about which they were preoccupied. It was the meat and potatoes of their day. And so there should be no great surprise that after a large crowd gathered, they hear Jesus talking about bread and butter issues. And in that situation, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, when he talks to them, a very bread and butter issue comes up. How are we going to feed all these thousands of people on the shores of the Sea of Galilee when we don't have anything to feed them and they're hungry? A real problem. Not only that, it was going to take about 8 months of wages to feed all these people. It was a huge logistical issue that would challenge even any convention planner today. And then to make things even more interesting, this small boy arrives on the scene with some barley loaves, just 5 of them, 2 small fish. And we say, wow, how is this going to happen? Not only that, barley loaves were not exactly the kind of fare one would serve at a convention. Barley was used as the bread of the poor, and you wouldn't find it on the gourmet table. So there's this gathered crowd that knew all about bread. In fact, it was the issue of the day on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And they experienced at that very moment what our Lord was saying to them in that situation. He fed them with this minuscule amount of bread brought by this young lad, and they had lots to spare. Now, added to that, when Jesus mentions this bread of life and they experience this in this very real way in that miracle, something also comes to mind further in their life journey. You see, bread had always been part of their religious history, a religious history which they had repeated to their children and their children after them. The story about how God had provided manna from heaven to carry people through 40 years of wilderness life, sustaining them for many decades. And they had experienced then something that was called bread from heaven. It was part of their religious tradition. So they weren't too surprised now when Jesus talks again about bread. And you can imagine what was happening inside of them when they heard this, when Jesus says to them, I now am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven, even better than what Moses provided in his day. They still died, and that manna only lasted for a short time. But the bread of life that I am to you today, this update, this upgrade of bread, the one who feeds on it will live forever. So Jesus is saying here at this time, I am your bread of life. I am the staple of your life. I'm your bread and butter issue resolved, even in a more complete and successful way than they've ever had before. Yes, the Lord in that miracle also looked after the immediate need with those few barley loaves and those 2 fish. But he did that for really another reason. He didn't want to just feed them with barley loaves and fish. He wanted to feed them with himself. He wanted to be the bread and butter of the day for them. He wanted to to be the staple of the day for them. Now, today, you and I don't have to worry too much about immediate needs of bread and butter. Certainly not as people did in New Testament days. Now, in many parts of the world, granted, folks still need to spend a big part of their day and energy simply revolving around food and shelter. That's still a very real issue, so they can understand this. But we can identify with it too, in even this affluent part of the world, because our basic needs have expanded considerably to include what we would be considered closer to luxuries by many people and many standards. In fact, we are still today rather preoccupied looking after ourselves, looking after our staples. And what we consider to be staples, basics. In fact, looking after ourselves and our staples seems to be the big preoccupation of our lives even today, even though we are living in the most affluent part of the world. We're still scrambling to assimilate and to consume those very basic needs that we consider critical to keep our lives together. Jobs, rents, mortgages, cars, entertainment expenses, utilities, food, supplies for the weekend when we watch the Olympics. We're still very busy, aren't we? Keeping ourselves filled, busy keeping ourselves fed, busy keeping ourselves refurbished with our personal needs and our wants, occupying our schedules and our day planners, using up all our energy. Staples, still the big deal in our lives, even today. And you might wonder why? Why we are still so busy with bread and butter concerns and issues, even though we're living in one of the more affluent countries of the world. And if you and I observe how folks spend their time and energy and effort today, you might come to the conclusion that we're still kind of starving. We still have this unyearning need to consume new things, new experiences, new possibilities that are the trend of the day, new technologies, as if they are the ones that feed our life, filling ourselves with a multiplicity of sideshows and distractions to bring some zip and zest and satisfaction to empty lives. All the while, in the pursuit to look after our staples, we sense we're still hungry. We're still thirsty. Thirsty for dignity, for integrity, for joy, for a sense of purpose, for satisfaction. And the theme still today is, I can't get no satisfaction. And it seems the harder we try, the more we actually do get or experience, the hungrier we become for even more. So that many today describe us as a consumer culture. Yes, bread is still a basic issue, as much as it was for those 5,000 and more folks who sat on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, were introduced to this astonishing person who introduces himself now as, hey, look, really, I am the bread of life. I am your bread and butter. And this morning, the Gospel of John would lead you and me to the one who permanently takes that hunger away and that listlessness and that hollowness. The one who brings your restless yearning for consumption to an end and says, Jesus Christ is your bread. He is your life. And could it be that today the hungrier and the harder we try to get, the hungrier we become. Do you suppose the more we become obsessed with filling ourselves with the commodities and perceived needs of experiences and things, the more we become malnourished? Our attachment to the bread and butter issues of the day, as we define them, are actually starving us to death. And maybe we're getting this all wrong. Those who have so much are the ones who have such little. The tables have turned. The story is told of a father who provided several thousand dollars to his son every year as long as he stayed in university, as long as he kept up in college. Well, he kept up in college for 46 years. And when he died, he had 11 degrees. But his life was still empty. It was still empty. And there are folks like that who spend their lifetime consuming, taking it all in, and then wondering why they feel so hollow. Well, John's gospel urges you to take another look. He brings you, he introduces you to the one who says, "Hey, folks, I'm the bread of life. I'm what you're looking for. And all who come to me will never go hungry. And all who believe in me will never be thirsty, but will have eternal life." I think we're getting the picture. We kind of have to lose ourselves in him to find ourselves. We have to give ourselves to him in order to be filled. And when we reach out to Christ's embrace of our life, and see him as the center of our world and the creator of our world and the refashioner of our lives, we'll find life. In fact, we'll have it. Where can we start? Notice the example Christ provides. He actually emptied himself, carried a hungry world on his shoulders, even died our death, offering himself as the food of life for the healing of life. And as you give yourself to him, the one introduced to you this morning, the one who is here even in a very visible way, sensational way, a sensory way, watch your hunger be satisfied. You want to do a lot more than just give up cholesterol for Lent. You will take upon yourself the delicious life of service to the Son of God, who is the bread of life for you and me. To lead you to be a part of the community of Christ that continues to be fed by him, redirecting your energy and resources to the ongoing healing of life that comes in Christ, because there's still lots of friends and neighbors and family members who still are so hungry for the real thing. May the Lord, in this Lenten journey, move us closer and closer to himself and eliminate the hunger that's still there in us, so that we might be ready to receive what he wants to give to us on a permanent basis, the real bread of life. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for being our bread of life. Forgive us when we try to find it in so many other places, when we try to fill our lives in ways that just don't do it for us, or that we find out at the end of a journey that leave us still hurting and hoping and looking. But today we met you in your word, and we're going to meet you in the sacrament. And we pray that you will, in that too, use it. The words, the touching, the tasting, the seeing, to be introduced to you as the one who did it for us and is now our life and future. In Christ we pray. Amen.